Mac, John Mathis.
Hey, John, how are you?
I'm okay, thanks. It's Johnny Mathis, and you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
Hi, this is Darling Love, and you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
Hi, this is Terry Stewart, CEO of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, Ohio, and you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on one of my favorite shows, the Harmony Street Show.
Chris McDonald's Memories of Elvis in Concert, Saturday, October 6th at the Hanover Theater in Worcester, Mass. Hey, this is Mike Miller from the Harmony Street Show. Are you still lonesome for the energy, charisma, and incredible voice of the King of Rock and Roll? Come join us for a special tribute celebrating the life and music of Elvis Presley with Chris McDonald's Memories of Elvis in Concert. Chris McDonald will lovingly bring back the memories of the King of Rock and Roll in a truly dynamic performance complete with costumes, high energy, concert band, and special guest star, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, DJ Fontana, Elvis's original drummer. With this newly updated national touring production, the show will include live performances with costume changes and songs representing the different stages of Elvis's incredible career, including the 1950s, the movies, the 1968 comeback, and the 1970s White Fringe Vegas concerts. Chris has the honor of being the only tribute artist hired by Elvis Presley Enterprises to perform at Graceland's Heartbreak Hotel. His show is not an overdone impersonation. It is a natural, heartfelt tribute to the King of Rock and Roll. An energetic and experienced entertainer, Chris McDonald has performed throughout the country, including Vegas, New York, Miami, and with his famous Legends in Concert stage production in Branson and at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. He has also performed in concert with Elvis Presley's original backup group, the Jordanaires, and adding to the authenticity of this heartfelt show, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame member DJ Fontana, the beat behind the King, will perform with Chris and his dynamic production band. DJ played drums for Elvis on all of his early hits and on his television performances, including the Steve Allen Show, the Milton Berle Show, including his infamous performance of Hound Dog. This performance was labeled as too suggestive by censors. Ed Sullivan even suggested that Elvis's next television performance be filmed only from the waist up, forever establishing Elvis's place in pop culture and music history. Join us for this rockin' tribute, celebrating the life and music of one of the greatest entertainers and pop culture icons of our time. Chris McDonald's Memories of Elvis in Concert, Saturday, October 6th at the Hanover Theater in Worcester, Mass. at 8 p.m. Saturday, October 6th at 8 p.m. at the Hanover Theater. Go to www.thehanovertheater.org or call the box office at 877-571-7469. All of my friends in Rhode Island and the greater Boston and Massachusetts area, don't miss this show. Hi, everyone. This is Mike Miller from the Harmony Street Show. I'd like to invite you to come along with us on the Malt Shop Memories Cruise. 7 nights and 8 days, October 27th through November 3rd, 2012. Return with us to those great days. Along with us will be Dion.
I wonder why I love you like I do. Is it because I think you love me too?
Frankie Avalon.
Venus, if you will, please send a little girl for me to thrill. A girl who wants my kisses and my arms. A girl with all the charms of you.
Bobby Rydell.
Oh, wild one, I'm gonna tame you down now.
Ronnie Spector.
The night we met, I knew I needed you so. And if I had the chance, I'd never let you go.
Darlene Love.
Today I met the boy I'm gonna marry. He's all I've wanted all my life and even more.
The Original Drifters.
Dance with me. Oh, hold me closer, closer and closer, much closer. While the music swings, oh, my little darling, won't you dance with me?
The Dupreez.
Why don't
Sonny Turner, the former lead singer of the Platters.
With this ring, I promise I'll always love you, always love you.
The fabulous Carl Gardner's Coasters.
Don't hold back.
Kenny Vance and the Planetones.
Girl in my dreams, where are you?
The Chiffons.
He's so fine. Wish she were mine.
The Times.
Then your lips cling to mine. It's wonderful, wonderful.
The Marvelettes.
My baby must be a magician. Coffee shoe got the magic touch.
John Cuse and the Excellence.
You're my Coney Island baby.
And many, many more of our favorite stars singing our favorite tunes. The host for the evening will be the Geeter with the Heater, Mr. Jerry Blavitt. Cruise on Holland America from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Turks and Caicos, San Juan, Puerto Rico, St. Thomas, and Half Moon Cay. Come along with us. Relive the magical malt shop days. Sail with the stars and bring back those great memories. Malt shop memories for a lifetime of memories. Call 877-700-MALT. That's 877-700-6258. Or visit www.maltshopcruise.com. Better sign up now. The Malt Shop Memories Cruise is selling out fast, so you better hurry. Don't miss the boat. Hi, this is Mike Miller, and you're here with me on the Harmony Street Show, and I'm really proud to have as my guest a good friend in Southern Florida, a man who does the best Elvis Presley tribute act in the business. I've been in shows with him. I've seen him sing in front of 1,000 people or more. And no one works harder or comes closer to the king than Chris McDonald. How you doing, Chris?
After that intro, I'm doing fantastic. very nice of you. I appreciate it very much.
Well, it happens to be the truth, man. Let's go back to the beginning. You were born and raised where?
I spent most of my early childhood in the Florida area, South Florida area.
Ah.
Since then, of course, I've been traveling around the country with the show. And
right. So you're actually a Florida native.
Yes.
A very rare Florida native, because most of the people in Florida have either come from New York, New Jersey, Philly, the Bronx, you know, and they come down here and then they become something else, you know, whatever.
You're correct that, because yeah. I guess you could say not quite a native, but almost.
Right.
All right, because I was actually born in a very small town in upstate New York.
Ah.
But we left when I was just an infant, so, you know, very little.
All right, because I'm a native New Yorker, too. Do you remember which town?
It was near Elmira area, around that area.
Oh, yeah, okay. So, you know, what's funny about New York is that a lot of people come from, the Berkshires, or they come from near Lake Skaneateles, or they come from Albany, or they come from Rochester or Buffalo. And, you know, really New Yorkers that come from the boroughs, they don't realize that they have a whole big, wide state, you know, where other people come from. They don't even know that they have another football team.
Absolutely.
You know.
Yeah, the hometown, it was in the country. I mean, it was basically, you know, very small town area.
Right.
Country is country no matter where it is.
Yeah, no, I grew up in Westchester. Actually, I was a Bronx kid. My father moved us up to Armonk, New York. It was pre-IBM, and it was very rustic until IBM went in, and then it became like, four-lane highway on both sides.
Sure.
What were your childhood influences? In other words, when did Chris McDonald actually stand up and say, hey, you know something? I can sing.
Well, the funny thing is, you know, my mom kind of got me into music as a little kid, really little. I mean, just, I don't know, school actually. She would have me sit down in front of the TV set with her on Saturday and Sunday afternoons, and we'd watch, you know, all the old movies.
Right.
The scary movies, we'd watch the beach movies.
Oh yeah.
We'd watch the Elvis movies. And
right.
The Elvis movies, even as a little kid, I said, this guy's cool. He'd beat up the bad guy.
Yeah.
Win the race, and he had beautiful women in bikinis chasing him.
right.
Kind of like a great gig, even at that age. You know, I was I knew there was something cool about it. And then, you know, I kind of just went, you know, went on from there just as a fan of the music. And, you know, my mom liked the music. I liked all kinds of music. And, of course, you know, I played football and stuff in high school.
Right.
And
we'll talk about that, too. So, in other words, you know, you were drawn to the music at an early age. You know, what you said kind of triggered me off a little bit, because if you've ever seen that, like, Eddie Murphy, you know, doing Elvis, and he comes out, you know, and he goes, "We're going to win this race. We're going to win this race." And that was his tagline, you know, because there's Elvis, you know, winning the race.
Yeah, that's all he had to do. You know, the movies themselves, and as I went along, you have baseball heroes and football heroes and, you know, sports legends. And to me, you know, Elvis, that's it. He's the king of rock and roll. He was a legendary, you know, music-wise. He was an actor. He was on TV. So I kind of got into it historically speaking, and kind of studied the material. Not really studying, but just as a fan, you know, like you would study baseball scores. You know, and stats. And kind of that's how I got into it. And the music is just a lot of fun. It works no matter where you are. It works for all ages. And that's why, you know, I really enjoy doing it. It's something that I learned as a child. And kind of when you learn things as a child, you learn them differently. You learn with your heart.
And they become embedded. You know, it becomes part of your actual makeup, you know, so to speak. And, of course, you know, Elvis was always portrayed as being undefeated and unscored upon. And even when he went into the Army, he still, you know, had his career, you know, in the Army. So, you know, he had a crew cut, but he was still Elvis, and they portrayed him as Elvis. And
actually did well for him, because the adults gained more respect. At the same time, they said, you know, he's actually a good boy. You know, that's
right.
And it worked out well. And of course, the colonel was very intelligent. They made movies that were in the can that were released when he was in the Army, and then he went right back into it. And I learned that even back then, the Elvis movies, Elvis was paid $1 million per picture.
Wow, which for then was, forget it.
Plus he got the, you know, the recording rights and everything else for the songs. And it was pretty amazing stuff. And,
well, you know, Tom Parker was a genius. I mean, you know, I've heard interviews with Tom Parker talking about Elvis, and he said, you know, that he really didn't have as much control over Elvis as people thought that he did. You know, he said still when it came to the bottom line, Elvis was still Elvis, and many times he made the decision.
Sure. He would try to do what's best when it comes to financial interests, of course, for himself, because the more Elvis was able to get, the more he was able to get as the manager. And it was a situation that got everybody where they wanted to be. There's no doubt about it.
Right. So you did see, of course, Elvis perform in the movies and on TV and whatever. Did you ever see Elvis perform live?
No, I was too little.
Wow.
Yeah, he passed away, and it just never got a chance to get to see him. And performances on video. Luckily, we have the age of VHS and then DVD, and everything is captured, because, you know, as you know, the early television with the Ed Sullivan shows that he performed on and had been cut off at the waist,
because
he moved too much, and, you know, all those things are just embedded and frozen in time.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, I do remember as a kid, and I've had this discussion with other people, I do remember previous to Ed Sullivan sitting on the couch with my parents and watching Elvis on the Tommy and Jimmy Dorsey Hour.
Sure.
And I think that was the first one. A lot of people will argue with you, but I if I remember correctly,
Dorsey Brothers, yeah.
Absolutely, you know, and you know, that was a way back.
Sure. He did that, and he did the also the Steve Allen Show, Milton Berle, Ed Sullivan, and Jackie Gleason.
Right.
Also, I think Jack, from what quotes they made, Jackie thought he was a flash in the pan, but of course he proved differently. But that was one of the quotes from Jackie Gleason back then when he first got started. They were all afraid of him. You know, they're afraid of rock and roll, and they didn't.
Yeah, no. Well, you know, I had that discussion with, you know, many people. As a matter of fact, I had a long talk with Johnny Mathis, who was on the show, And he was talking about Mitch Miller and what Mitch did for him, but also, you know, the fact that there was at that time, you know, a big underground movement by the very, very conservative musicians to block it, to ban it, to you know, just keep it from ever taking over. And of course, it was too big and too strong. And Elvis probably was the forerunner for everything.
Yeah, it's even the Beatles, you know, they quoted later on, John Lennon said before, for them, before Elvis, there was nothing. You know, not meaning that there wasn't great musicians,
right,
singers, but Elvis actually catapulted because of the timing. After studying all this, I looked at the way the timing was. Television was at its maximum. It was such a new thing back then. It was big,
right,
huge. You know, everybody wanted to turn on Ed Sullivan on Sunday. It was Sunday night, right?
Oh, yeah.
And Ed Sullivan. And that whole influence during that magic golden age of television, Elvis' timing was impeccable. He didn't know what he was doing. He just did it. But
right. He was just Elvis.
Yeah. The Sun label, they made incredible sounds in this little studio in Memphis.
Right.
And then next thing you know, he's you know, picked up by RCA. He's on you know, the Ed Sullivan Show, all these television. He gets a movie. He, you know, all of that was just all put together. And you wonder if it could ever happen again exactly like that. People now are trying to get that. That's why they're doing these shows, American Idol and everything.
Right.
And it's they're all looking for a triple threat, you know, and they're all looking for that American Idol, which of course, you know, really was Elvis. I mean, that was
right. Well, you know, it was a phenomenon, and he did have this natural thing. You know, a little aside, in my life, you know, just bumping off of people and running into people and having different scenarios. I once went into Manhattan, and I actually had a couple of dates with this lady. I was kind of in between, monumental relationships in my life, and had a date with this girl. She was a very attractive girl. And we had dinner, and, you know, we kind of liked each other. We went up to her apartment in Manhattan. And she said, you know, I got to tell you something. You know, as we talked, she says, I had this relationship with Elvis. And I said, oh, yeah, here we go. Another woman that had a relationship,
sure,
with Elvis, you know, blah, blah, blah. Because I found that, you know, it was either usually Joe Namath or Tom Selleck. But here comes Elvis. And then as I'm sitting there, and she poured a couple of drinks, whatever, she came out with these two albums. And I'm telling you, Chris, that page after page after page of photographs of her with Elvis in the pool, in a bathrobe, in the piano with his shoes and socks off, you know, just playing and throwing his head back laughing and whatever. And I said to myself, how did Elvis have time to do this?
Right. Well, when it's a woman, like, you know, you make time.
Yeah, well, you know, absolutely. But, you know, I think to myself that he really was a special individual. I guess he could compartmentalize things, you know, in his life. And of course, you know, we'll go into that a little bit. I want to ask you, when did you actually decide to go full tilt and say, you know what, I'm going to do Elvis?
Well, you know, the way we do the show, it's definitely more of a tribute. I don't go over the top with it. It's not an overdone caricature. And during the show, I talk about what Elvis did. I never say that I did this, you know,
right,
like some of the shows that are a full overblown kind of impersonation.
Right.
It's not done that way. I try to resemble him naturally and try to move naturally.
Right.
And vocally, I keep my vocals natural. I don't go over the top. I don't sound like, you know, I'm trying so hard. I don't sound like I have marbles in my mouth, you know. Like,
right.
So I just keep it natural and make the music strong. So I got into this just as a fluke. I'd been doing some acting and a little bit of you know, modeling, that kind of stuff earlier.
Right, and absolutely, if you've ever met Chris or been in a room with him, you know, Chris, you know, could model anywhere he wants to because he has those model good looks. So
I mean, I just was playing with, you know, trying to get things done, but
yep.
You know what I mean. I was doing that kind of stuff first, and then I just decided, I had a party, a situation. I know it's going to laugh, you're going to think it's crazy and it's kind of funny, but it was a party. It was during the Halloween time, and it was a costume situation. And I had always been an Elvis fan. I said, you know something, I'm just going to do the Elvis thing for this. and I'm going to go to this party and have a good time, and that's it.
So you couldn't make that stuff up. I mean, it's like,
yeah, no, that's what happened. Yeah. And someone there happened to do these shows at different clubs and bars and that kind of thing. They did kind of like a show tribute to different acts and that kind of thing. And
right.
They looked at me and said, "Do you sing? Do you want to do a show?"
Right.
And I said, "Well, actually, I do sing. I've been a fan for a long time, but I just haven't really gone that route."
Right.
And they said, "Well, why don't you audition for us and see what we can do?"
Wow. Now, you know, you and I have spoken before, and you told me a few years ago that you were actually an athlete, and you were thinking about becoming a pro athlete as well.
Yeah, I played football in high school. I had a scholarship to go for college, and kind of just one of those things. You go a different route. You know, things take you different places.
Right. You made a choice.
I made a choice, and personal reasons and personal arrangements, that kind of stuff. And
right.
Ended up kind of just getting into the entertainment thing, and I always try to give everything I do 100%.
Well, you know, I've been to a bunch of your shows, and we've actually done some shows together over the years, and, you know, it's you put your all into it. I mean, you know, the show that Paulette and I went to the Broward that night, it was over 2 hours, and you just gave it everything you had. I'm sure that by the end of the night, you know, you were spent.
Oh yeah, it's you're nice enough to people are nice enough to pay money to come and see the show. I want to entertain you. That's your job, is to entertain your audience and give them everything you have. These songs are about emotions. They're about memories, and you can't do that halfway. You know, this is what people, they want to be a part of that. That's why I call the show Memories of Elvis.
Right.
I'm basically sharing memories of my own, you know, growing up as a kid, listening to it with my mom, the stuff I learned, you know, researching the information, what I've heard from grandparents and friends and relatives, and, you know, little stories that everybody you know comes up with something whether it was when Elvis passed away, where they were.
Right.
If they saw the Ed Sullivan show. So you basically have all these memories that are embedded in people's minds, that when I go to do the show, there's only one Elvis. I'm not Elvis. I'm doing a tribute to him. So all
right.
I can do is give 100% of me.
Right. And you're pretty much an Elvis aficionado. As a matter of fact, I remember when you had the radio show. I'm not sure if you're still doing that, but Chris actually did a radio show. And not only did he portray Elvis, you know, in his tribute show, but you were actually doing and this was before Sirius Radio.
Yes.
You were doing an Elvis radio show.
Yes, yes. I loved doing it. I was able to, you know, as we're speaking of now, talk about the history of the music. I played songs, and then, of course, I did a couple live songs on air.
Right.
And then I would also have interviews, like, you know, of different people. We had the Jordanaires, Ray Walker on for an interview.
Right.
And DJ Fontana, Elvis's drummer. And I had a great time doing it, and I would still be doing it, but we ended up doing the tour where we took this show and we got busier with the actual shows.
Right.
So that I chose to, you know, further that along, but there's always a chance where I would love to do something like that again. I really enjoyed it. And DJ Fontana and the Jordanaires, I've been able to do shows with them.
Right.
You know, the original guys that backed Elvis up. As a matter of fact, that's actually what we're doing on these concerts coming up in October. DJ Fontana, Elvis's drummer, is going to be playing with us.
Which is fabulous. Just as a little aside, and you know, what's funny is that as DJs are searching for venues and radio stations are changing their format and going to talk radio and bouncing the oldies and that kind of thing off, when I stopped singing with the Mystics, I, you know, was frustrated and everything. And somebody said to me, "Why don't you do a radio show?" And I said, you know, I've been on the other side of the mic so many times, you know, and I started doing it. Then, of course, with some encouragement from some of the bigger DJs, Don K. Reed and a couple other guys, they said, "Do it." So I started playing music, and then it started turning into interviews where I started interviewing some of the people that I was on stage with. And then it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And I was all of a sudden I'm interviewing Little Anthony and Mary Wilson and Johnny Mathis. And, you know, I realized that internet radio will, within the next 3 or 4 years, slowly take over terrestrial radio, because everything will be Wi-Fi, and the same thing in cars. If you want jazz, you'll hit jazz, and you'll get 800 jazz stations from all over the world Wi-Fi. So I guess my point is that somewhere in the troposphere somewhere, there is room, again, probably on internet radio, for somebody who is going to do that quintessential Elvis radio show, because as I look around, I don't think there are too many out there.
Well, you know, of course, you mentioned the Sirius. They've got their own channel, of course.
Right, this I know.
But when it comes to internet radio,
yeah.
I'm sure there probably are some out there, but
yeah.
You're right. I do think it is a situation where it's always other people's perspective, too. That's
right.
What's great about the show. You can have a perspective of your own that could be individual, that's different than the other shows that are out there. Even
right.
though you're playing the same material, as you know yourself, you can make it different. You can make your show different, even if you're playing the same music. That's
oh, absolutely.
What I like about it, you know, perception and the way you look at things can be shared, or can be learned, or can be experienced.
Yeah, and not only that, you know, I find that on the radio, terrestrial radio, the DJ personalities are disappearing, you know, and even Sirius is getting to the point where it's starting to sound like AM, middle-of-the-road radio, where you know that you can hear Chubby Checker doing the twist every day at 5 o'clock, because it's so pre-programmed. And the other thing is, when it comes to oldies, you have young program directors that really weren't there for the music, and they really don't understand the demographic. So there's a lot of stuff that goes into that, you know.
Yeah, and I think that the internet is very wide open for all kinds of music and markets. There's no doubt about it.
It's really untapped and it's a brand new frontier, you know. As a matter of fact, the government is still trying to figure out how to get their hooks into internet radio the way they've done it to all the other radio genres, and they really can't figure out how to do it yet, you know, because it's so brand new. And the guys that are starting, you know, like off at the beginning, will have a foothold. I do it just because I love it, and it keeps me creative.
Sure.
You know, and I'm going to start singing again, too. For Chris, you know, doing Elvis, you also have so many tunes to choose from, because I don't think people realize how many songs Elvis actually recorded.
It's over 300 and some songs.
I mean, it's just amazing.
What we're doing is we kind of course, do the hits, the number ones, and we try to put in quite a few of the familiar songs, because you don't want to go to an Elvis show and not hear your favorite song.
Right, because, you know, if you do too many obscure ones, people start getting uncomfortable.
Little Don't Be Cruel from the early days. You know I can't be found sitting no more, you know. If you can come around and at least be as a telephone, don't be cruel to my heart, that's true. Well, baby, if I made you mad for something that I might have said, please just forget my past. The future looks bright ahead, and don't be cruel to my heart, that's true. I don't want no other love, baby, it's just you and me. Don't stop thinking of me, don't you make me feel this way. Come on over here and love me, you know I want you to stay. But don't be cruel to my heart, that's true. Why should we be apart? Really love you, baby, cross my heart. Let's walk up to the preacher, let him say I do. Then you'll know you'll have me, and I know that I'll have you. But don't be cruel to my heart, that's true. I don't want no other love, baby, it's just you and me. Don't be cruel to my heart, that's true. Don't you be cruel to my heart, that's true. I don't want no other love, baby, it's just you and me.
All right. The movie songs are definitely where we got into. A little song from the Girls Gone Wild. No, that's not. Yeah. Not Girls Gone Wild? No. Okay. Girls. Okay. Girls. Girl Happy? No. Girl Trouble? Girls, Girls, Girls. You're right. Here's Return to Sender.
One, two.
Return to Sender. Return to Sender. I gave a letter to the postman. He put it in his sack. Bright and early next morning, he brought my letter back.
She wrote upon
return to sender. I had dressed unknown. I know such number. I know such zone. We had a quarrel. I had a respect. I'm sorry, but my letter keeps coming back. So then I dropped it in the mailbox and sent a special day. Bright and early next morning, it came right back to me.
She wrote a book.
Return to sender. I had trust unknown. No such person. No such zone. This time I'm gonna take it myself and put it right in her hands. And if it goes back the very next day, well, then I'll understand. Return to sender. I had dress unknown. I know such number. I know such zone. Return the sender. Return the sender. Return the sender. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to introduce a couple of these guys back here that are singing harmonies back here. This is Frankie, Spanky, and Cranky. He's got a new baby, so it's a, his name is Dino. So they're singing harmony vocals here, the Jordanaires kind of stuff, and we really enjoy them being here. Thank you, guys.
Right, so we got to do the hits, but we do throw in what I call some treasures.
Right.
Songs that may not have been on the radio as much as some of the other ones, but
they,
even some of the songs in the 70s he recorded that were really beautiful power ballads and stuff didn't quite get to the radio. But really have beautiful orchestrations, and you know, we've got a horn section and everything, and so it's nice to do those, so I'll throw those in too. And it always gives you something where you can add something new.
Right. Let's talk about the way the show is put together. Of course, I've been to the show, and I've seen my good friends Spanky and Dino, who are a treasure of their own in Southern Florida, two talented guys, make up part of the backup singers. Tell me some of the people that are on the show and how you have the orchestra constructed. And I know you have girls in the show, in the big show.
Yeah. Well, we have the full show. We do a presentation as a part of the show. Would be the 50s, the early years. And, of course, with that, we tend to have a smaller grouping of the four-piece band, rhythm section, drum, bass, guitar, keyboards, and then maybe a sax player.
Let's hear for the life and music of the King of Rock and Roll. Big hand for Elvis. He passed away, was it 1977, on August 16th. I mean, that was a long time ago, huh? But his memory and his music will live on forever and ever. Just great stuff. And it brings us all back together, brings families together. And you can share those memories from the little kids up to the grandparents and the great-grandparents. And that's a good thing, right? Very, very beautiful song called Are You Lonesome Tonight? It goes something like this. Are you lonesome tonight? Do you miss me tonight? Are you sorry we drifted apart? Does your memory stray to a brighter summer day when I kissed you and called you sweetheart. I do. Do the chairs in your parlor, thank you, seem empty and bare? Do you gaze at your doorstep and picture me there? Is your heart filled with pain? Shall I come back again? Tell me, dear, are you lonesome tonight? I wonder if you're lonesome tonight. Your sound set the world's a stage and each must play a part. They'll be playing in love with you as my sweetheart. Act one was more a man. I loved you at first glance. You read your lines so cleverly I never missed a cue. They came back too. You seemed to change, you acted strange. And why, I've never known. But honey, you lied when you said you loved me. And I had no cause to doubt you. But I'd rather go on hearing all your lies than one living without you. Now the stage is bare, and we're standing there with emptiness all around. And if you won't come back to me, they can bring the curtain down. Here's your heart filled with pain. Shall I come back? Tell me, dear, are you lonesome tonight? Thank you very much. Thank you. I was going to give you a kiss on the cheek, but those lips were quick. I just leaned in, you went, wow. I did have chewing gum when I came out here. That's okay. I'll get it later, right?
I'll give it back.
And then we also have, it moves into the movies, where
right.
we get do some of the movie songs, which of course had some more orchestration. So we had the horn section, the full section, which is a trombone and trumpet and a Barry sax, and we fill it up with sound that way.
Right.
And of course, Dino and Spanky, there's some two backup singers, plus there's three other backup singers within the musicians.
Right.
A lot of harmony we throw in there.
Oh, it's a big sound.
And thank you. Yeah, by the time we get to, after we do the 50s, the movies, then we do the Black Leather 68 comeback. I wear that outfit for that, and we do that, the songs from that television special where we have the comeback.
Right.
And then we take an intermission and come back for the second half of the show, which is that 1970s concerts, the Las Vegas, Madison Square Garden, Aloha from Hawaii, all that great music that he did with that full band. And we try to, pull you in as the story is told. And really hit you hard there with a great sound there from that 70s stuff.
Here's some burning love for you. Lord Almighty, feel my temperature rising. Yeah, just a higher and higher. He's putting food on my soul. Yeah, girl, 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 you're gonna set me on fire. Well, my brain's clearing, I don't know which way to go. Yeah, I say you can't still hear me higher, like the sweet song of the choir. And you light my morning sky, burn it up. Ooh, 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 ooh. I feel my temperature rising, rising, rising. But just a higher, higher, must be 109. Yeah. Just a burn and burn, burn it and nothing can cool it. No, I just my turn and it's more, but I feel fine. Yeah, I say you can't sit and nail me higher, like the sweet song of the choir, and you love. It's going closer, the flame is not licking my body. Oh, I said, as long as you hear me, feel like I'm slipping away. Yeah. Well, it's on a breeze, and my chest is heaving. Oh, Lord, I'm burning a hole in my leg. Yeah, I said, you can't sit and lay me higher, like the sweet song. And you light up on the sky, burning love. Ooh, burning love. Ooh, burning love. Ooh, burning love. Ooh, I get the hunger, hunger, burning love. 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 I get the hunger. Just a hump, hump. Bring him back up, man. Here we go. Come on. Thank you very much. Sorry about that front row. When no one else can understand me, when everything I do is wrong, consolation. You give me strength to carry on, and you're always there to lend a hand in everything I do. That's a wonder, the wonder. When you smile, the world is brighter. You touch my hand and I'm a king. Your kiss to me was a fortune. Your love for me is everything. I guess I'll never know the reason why you love. To wonder, the wonder of you. That's it for the band, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. Any Frank Sinatra fans? This is written by Paul Anka, recorded by Frank and Elvis. put his own stamp on it. And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I've traveled each and every highway, oh, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few, but out again to feel the mansion. I did what I had to do, I saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the highway. Oh, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. Thank you.
You know what Paulette said to me, though, in the middle of one of your shows? She said to me, man, Chris must have a hell of a dry cleaning bill.
Oh, talking about moving around and dancing, and, oh, yeah, I work up a sweat. There's no doubt.
Yeah, but not only that. I mean, you know, you have outfits that, you know, these outfits are not, you know, you can't buy them at Joseph Banks, you know, and get three for one. These are outfits that are genuine outfits.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. I like wearing the particular outfits to represent the different eras of his career. You know, that brings the audience into the story, and this is familiar. So I do try to make sure that we have the, you know, the early 50s look, the black and white shoes, the, you know, black shirt and black pants,
right,
jacket and collar up, and you know, the movies and that black leather is signature. That's leather jacket,
right.
Leather pants. And,
right.
And
but it's not.
70s outfit.
It's not something that you could wear to go to Publix.
It wouldn't, but I don't cut my grass in it, you know.
Right, exactly. Exactly right, you know. So, you know, all those songs and all those tunes and, as I said, you really work hard. Now, you performed actually at Graceland, is that correct?
Yeah, I had, I worked actually 7 years right for Elvis Presley Enterprises. They hired me to perform at Graceland at the Heartbreak Hotel every January for the birthday. They do a birthday celebration, and then every August for Elvis Week, which is a memorial tribute week.
Right.
Actually performed for fans from all over the world. Working for them, so it's a great honor. I mean, it's the fact that you're hired once is great. To
right.
be hired every year like that, and get to perform for a lot of fans that are true Elvis fans, it was a great experience.
Well, you know, I've seen a lot of Elvis performers over the years, and of course, we had this discussion the other day. Whereas when you go to Vegas and you go here and you go there, and all of a sudden there are so many Elvises jumping out at you that it becomes overkill. You know, I had asked you off the cuff, you know, about an Elvis cruise or this and that. And, you know, you said to me quite frankly that, you consider what you do very special and, you know, you wouldn't want to be, you know, smack dab in the middle of 16 other Elvises, because that's not the way you see it. This is something very special to you.
Yeah, I call it, you know, Chris McDonald's Memories of Elvis in Concert. So it's personal. It's the way I'm presenting the show as a tribute to Elvis. And I, you know, it's not, I don't have anything against, you know, what they're doing and if they put stuff together like that, but it just doesn't seem to fit with what I'm doing as a
right.
show.
Right.
It just seems like it, I don't know. I enjoy what I'm doing. It's my own personal show. And that's the way I want to present it.
Right. I can completely understand that. Now, your particular band, and, you know, when you do an Elvis show, I mean, the arrangements are just so sophisticated. And to do it authentically, there has to be a tremendous amount of rehearsal that goes into it because, you know, so many different harmonies for so many different songs and everything else. Is the band that you have pretty much a set group that you have that rehearses and are true to Chris?
Yes, yes. The rhythm section is probably, it's always tight, it's always set. The horn section, we've also gotten a great group of horn players. Most of them are the regular horn players, but I have maybe two other guys that are alternates that have played the show
right.
a long time too. So it's a very tight grouping. And we always, before we start a run, we'll go, you know, a different tour. We go through rehearsals, and we nail down the charts and make sure everything is tight, and then we go and we start the show. So, you know, we've been doing this, and we know what we're doing, and like you said, you have to put time into it to make it work the right way, especially with these arrangements. When you have a horns in a show, and you have the rhythm section, of course you're dealing with a lot of times rhythm section people. Some play charts, but a lot of them play by ear. You know,
oh,
a lot
yeah.
of them are ear players, you know, in heart. They play with the heart.
Oh, I know.
The horn players, more than likely, are chart players, and you have different things you have to work with, so you have to bring them all together, and it does require the rehearsal.
That's right. And obviously, you can't do 300 Elvis tunes in 2 hours, you know. So pretty much, how do you choose the material, and do you change it up once in a while? Or
yep, that's what we do for sure. Like I mentioned, we have to put in some of the songs like you have to do, especially
right.
if you're presenting the different eras of those careers.
Right.
You know, certain things you're going to have to do, number one hits or certain movie songs that were really recognizable. And then, of course, some of the 70s stuff like, you know, Suspicious Minds and Burnin'
right.
Love. And
okay, I know it's... Is it past your bedtime? We're okay, right? Here's Suspicious Minds. We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby. Yeah. Oh, don't you know? Why can't you see? Oh, 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 what you're doing to me? Oh, oh, oh. was mine. And we can build our dreams, cause it's just mine. So with an old friend I know, drop by to say hello. Would I still see suspicion in your eyes? Here we go again. Oh, oh, oh. Asking where I've been. Oh, oh, oh. You can't see a tear, Laurel, I'm crying. We can't go on together with suspicious minds. Oh, let up, love survives on. Oh, draw the tears from your eyes. Let's don't let a good thing die when you know what it is. You know I'd never lie to you. No, not much, maybe just a little bit. Yeah, yeah. We're calling a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby. Yeah. Oh, don't you know? Why can't you see? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What you doing to me? Whoa, whoa, whoa. When you don't believe a word. Can't walk out because I love you too much. All in a trap. Can't walk out because I love you too much, baby. Oh, don't you know I'm caught in these pants? I'd like to get out, oh yeah. I hope these pants don't tear up, baby. Yeah. Don't you know? Caught in a trap. Can't walk out because I love you too much. Caught in a trap. Thank you very much.
You know, maybe his version of My Way, which we always love doing, Elvis's version of My Way. You know, stuff like that that are signature songs that people are looking for.
Right.
And then we interchange some other songs or maybe some B-sided hits or maybe some other movie songs that were fun that weren't completely, you know, as well known as those other hits. But
right.
This way it gives you that chance to actually, what I find happening, I have people telling me after the show, is they didn't know Elvis did that song or they
right.
loved the song. And I have people telling me that, you know, they buy my CDs, of course, when they're at the show, but I've had them also telling me that, you know, they go and get the Elvis song because they want to, you know, hear
right.
it. Which is great because that means the music keeps going on.
Oh, absolutely.
That's
absolutely.
How it works.
Oh, see, right. Oh, see what you have done. Sissy, Sissy Rice. Oh, see what you have done. Now, girl, you made me love you. Now, 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 your man is gone. Tell me what I say. Well, I'm going. Oh, baby, baby. Yeah, I won't be back till fall. So I'm going, 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 going away, baby. Yeah, I won't be back till fall. Well, that's all right, Mama. That's all right for you. Well, that's all right, Mama. I did anyway you do, but that's all right. That's all right. Well, that's all right now, Mama. Anyway you do, well, you do. Well, Mama, she done told me. Mama done told me too. Son, that guy you fool in with, he ain't no good for you. But that's all right. That's all right. Well, that's all right now, Mama. Anyway you do, well, you do. That's all right. Well, that's all right now, Mama. Anyway you do, well, you do. I said see, 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 right. We'll see what you have done. I said see, 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 right. We'll see what you have done. Now, girl, you made me love you. And now, 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 your man is gone. Hear what I say. I just put in one little spot and wheel around. I said, see, right.
Hey, listen, just remembering all the words to My Way Is a Chore. You know, because, you know, it's like I said on the phone, you know, today when I spoke to you, I says, I have self-inflicted adult ADD. It gets worse as you get older.
But that first line's pretty scary, and now the end is near. You know, that's what
right.
I'm through.
No, yeah, I totally understand. Hey, you know, here's something, you know, we're driving actually north a couple of years ago, Paulette and I. And all of a sudden, we get up around, I can't remember, maybe it's just past Southern Boulevard. And all of a sudden, I look to my left, and there is a probably 75-foot to 100-foot image of Chris McDonald on a billboard staring down at us. And I said, oh, my God, it's Chris McDonald, honey.
Yeah, we've had a few billboards up there, and I do a lot of the concert halls and the shows, and we're, you know, a national act. We're home based though. South Florida's home based.
Right.
We travel all over, and I look for all kinds of different ways of advertising.
Fabulous idea.
You know, you never know where you're gonna hit people. Radio is good, but sometimes radio changes. Print media is okay, but sometimes people get in internet stuff. So once in a while, these billboards pop up, and you're hitting thousands of drivers.
Absolutely.
And you never know when it could, you know, be the right time. So,
absolutely. Have you ever done Vegas?
I actually performed in Vegas, yep.
Good.
I performed the Elvis show, and I also performed as a part of a country music review, original country music, because I also do country besides the Elvis show, when I'm not listening to you know, oldies music and Elvis stuff.
Right.
I like country music. I'm a country music
right.
fan. So we did that in Vegas. And then I actually got picked up when I was doing that. John Stewart, who did the Legends in Concert show.
Right.
Produced it. He called me basically had me come in to do an audition when I was there. I auditioned and ended up doing work for them. I also went to Branson. I did the Branson Theater there.
Yeah, Branson is great. I mean, you know, we were out in Branson, you know, with the Mystics and everything. And boy, I'll tell you, even the smaller acts in Branson are right on the money. I miss some great talent there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And the theater was always packed. It was just, you know, a great experience. Of course, you know, it's two shows a day, 6 days a week. So it's kind of, and you're doing the same 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And it gets to be a grind at that particular point. That's why, you know, I did some of that kind of work, but my whole goal was to get enough references. You know, Elvis Presley Enterprises, I worked for Legends, I worked for
right.
some other, you know, shows. The whole idea was to actually be able to take my own production.
Yeah. Yeah, Branson is funny because, you know, I remember looking out into the audience and you see people very well dressed that are Branson people and people that come from New York and Florida to go visit Branson. And then you have the people that come down from the hills. And you could be sitting, there's one person there, he's the CEO of a bank and he's on vacation, and then the person next to him is wearing a sweater and has very little dental work.
Oh, jeez.
And so Branson's a very funny mix of people that come down from the Ozarks and also blend with the people that are the big spenders and are on vacation.
Well, that's the thing about Branson. Branson was really, it's the best thing that Branson has is bus traffic. Because that's the easiest way. A lot of those the Midwestern people, that's what they do. They take buses. They take
right.
They're older, some of them, and they take buses to Branson, and you get that traffic. And then of course you get, like you said, people that are flying in and coming in from all kinds of places.
Right.
The bus traffic is really what made Branson. Was that?
Oh yeah, I can imagine. And everybody's there now. I mean, you know. I mean, and I guess they go there like sometimes they go to Southern Florida. I mean, you know, people don't realize how many producers and arrangers and writers and singers and people have migrated to, you know, Boca, Fort Lauderdale, Boynton, you know, and are retired here. But also, you know, the other part goes to Branson, and they just stay there and do their thing until they can't do it anymore.
Yeah, there's you can have a theater there and work as long as you want if you've got the music they want to hear, you know. It's
oh, absolutely, absolutely. I was going to say something that just slipped my mind now.
B12 is good, they say.
Yeah, B12 is good for that. I know you have a bunch of CDs out, and you also have a country CD.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Yeah. What I did is I recorded the original songs I wrote and recorded in Nashville with the Jordanaires.
Wow. You know, people don't realize that Nashville is like two blocks long. All that great music came out of like a four-block radius.
So the studios are great. The musicians, you know, great
wow.
players. I had some legendary players on it that came in for the sessions. And the Jordanaires did the harmony vocals. And
wow.
These are songs that, you know, I've written while I've doing these road shows and out of town and doing all the stuff that you normally do, and I kind of just
wow.
wrote songs that came to me, and so I put them down with
cool.
these singers, and I have that available. That's also on iTunes and Amazon.
Right.
And I recently we released a recording of the full concert. You know, I got it licensed and released the recording.
Oh, wow, so it's an actual live show?
Yeah, live show.
Very cool.
Memories of Elvis in Concert, recording at a theater venue. I released that, too, and that's on iTunes and Amazon.
And HBO's not interested yet, huh?
Hey, that would be something else. Yeah.
Never know. That would be something.
That
but,
be,
you know, everything starts with a thought, you know?
Well, there are also all kinds of things with the shows that go for PBS. That was always a
concern. Oh, yeah, yeah, TJ, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's another idea. You know, hey, listen, anybody who wants to play it, you can even go to Bravo. They can slip it in between, you know, the Housewives of Orange County, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
you'll take it. I know that. I don't watch it. My wife does.
Yeah. the Jersey one, too. Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah. I like the Jersey ones. You know, I can relate to the Jersey ones.
A good table flip is good for anybody, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, you bet. The other thing I thought about is that you really have to stay in shape Chris, because in order to do the Elvis that you do and get out there and you know, be authentic, it's like you got to push the pasta away once in a while.
Yeah, I have a lot of cardio. I do a lot of cardio, and I, you know, I like food, so it's
right.
not to eat, but I find that the cardio is the key to it. You know, spin bike and that kind of stuff, and I try to work out basically
yeah.
weekly. I'm doing. 3, 4, 5 days a week trying to keep everything going.
Yeah, which is cool because, I mean, you know, it's a big responsibility, you know, to get up there and do what you do. You know, you have to sound it, you have to feel it, you have to be it, and you have to look it. And, of course, you do look the part, you know. So that is, you know, God was very, very friendly to you when he gave you what he gave you because, you know, you're there as far as in the looks department, which is, you know, which is not a secret. And of course, you know, the women like that too.
Well, it's like I said, we try to present it as a natural as we can with the show, and the resemblance. I want it to be to the point where it's not over the top, but at the same time, maybe you like me too. That kind of thing.
Right? Yeah. No, I understand.
I want you to like me too as an entertainer. So you know, I'm kind of at that particular point, Luckily, like you said, I keep working. I'm trying to work out and keep things working the right way, keeping loose, and that's all you can do.
You and I both know that when people say I'm going to go drive in my car and I'm going to go see an Elvis tribute act or you know whatever that act calls itself, you know, in its entirety. People come in a lot of times if they don't know about you or whatever, they come in a little skeptical and say, okay, you know, we've seen this before. What does this guy have to offer that is going to dazzle me more than all the other guys that I've seen or heard or whatever. And so basically the pressure is always on in order to, you know,
right.
be at the top of your game because, you know, you know how critical people are. I mean, they, you know, they'll always have something to say.
Absolutely. And I expect it because Elvis was such an incredible entertainer, incredible pop culture icon. And there's only one Elvis.
914.
Oh. Does the sound have to be off?
No.
Okay. Now give me the boing, boing, boing again, man.
Boing, boing, boing.
How many ohs do you want? Oh, okay. I don't have to have it.
Boing, boing, boing.
Oh. Okay. Everybody's entitled to one stupid-ass mistake.
just hold it up. I'll talk to you. That's good.
Right?
Okay, here we go.
Boing.
Oh. Boing, boing, boing.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh. I got stung. I'm all shook up. Oh.
Oh.
Okay. Oh. You should have one in there, man.
Pardon?
Should have one in there that you can use.
You know, I'm not Elvis, so the only thing I can do is be the best at what I'm doing and that I can be myself. So I have been fighting a lot of the negative shows or expectations that people have because, you know, sometimes some of the shows out there, you know, they're doing probably the best they can, but, you know, a lot of times it may not be what people would like to see or want to, you know.
Oh, how many times have you seen, you know, you're not going to say it because, you know, you're too sweet a guy, but I can say it. How many times do you see guys that, you know, they're doing Elvis? I'm saying to myself, there's, you know, there's a guy that looks, you know, too much like Woody Allen and he's up there doing Elvis or a guy, you know, and they come from everywhere and they're doing Elvis and, you know, some are better than others, some not, whatever. But, I will tell you that from the bunch that I've seen, and I've seen a bunch, we're actually mesmerized when we come to see your show, because it really is the full Monty in production, in the way it's arranged, in the size of the orchestra, in the presentation. When you do it in front of thousands of people, which I've seen it, it really does have the full impact. And I've also seen you do it to tracks in a small room, too.
Sure.
And you still pull it off beautifully.
I appreciate that very much. I
mean, absolutely.
It's a lot. That really does. And that's all I can ask for, is if, you know, you get what we're trying to do when we do the show. And that's exactly what we're trying to do. We're trying to give a positive image, a positive show, put some class to it, you know, because there's always other kind of, you know, I'm just trying to give it some respect.
Right.
And you know, a lot of it, people don't know what to expect. I get some nice comments from people, which is great. By the end of the show, hopefully we pull them into what we're trying to do.
Right.
And, you know, I go out to the table after the show there with the merchandise and stuff, and I sign whatever they want me to sign and have fun with it. And I do get comments, people that say nice stuff. And
right.
I get a lot of people, too, when I stand up and take a picture with them, they go, I didn't think you were going to be that tall. I don't know, I'm 6'3", so I guess maybe
right.
expecting, I'm basically a little taller than Elvis was, but when you talk about Elvis, I think it's good to be taller, larger than life, because he
absolutely.
Was larger than life, you know.
Oh,
basically
absolutely.
With what he accomplished, so it doesn't hurt to, you know, to basically be able to do that, but it's usually a positive situation. Of course, you can, you know, there's always someone that said, why don't you did this song? You didn't do that song. There's always something.
Yep.
It's, you just try to be able to please everybody. And I guess the best way to do that is to make sure when you go out there, you're at least having fun.
Oh, absolutely. Let's talk about some of the shows that are coming up.
Sure. Coming up October 6th, we're going to be in an area we haven't been before. We're going to be in the Massachusetts area in Worcester, Mass., which is, I guess, about an hour or so outside of Boston.
Right.
We're going to be there at the Hanover Theater, and that's going to be October 6th, and we'll have DJ Fontana, Elvis's drummer, the guy that played on Jailhouse Rock and Hound Dog and all those great songs, the beat behind the king. He's going to be with us on stage for the 50s material, and, of course, we're having the show with the horn section and the rhythm section, the 50s, the movies, the black leather, the 70s. And that's on October 6th.
Right, and they can just call the Hanover Theater, people that live in the Massachusetts area and Rhode Island. I know, you know, I spoke to Joe Fisk, who is the manager of Boston Internet Radio, and he told me that the Hanover Theater is beautiful.
Oh, that's what I heard. It's a beautiful place, great acoustics, and it's just it should be a pleasure to play. And they can get information, I believe it's the hanovertheater.org.
Right, right. And you also have a big show coming up on Long Island.
Yes, we're going to be October 20th. We're heading to first time there also with the show, the big show. Long Island will be in Patchogue, New York at the Patchogue Theater.
Right. They do a lot of oldie shows there, too, I know.
Yeah, and I heard it's a great acoustic theater. It's in a nice community, and we're going to have DJ Fontana there again with us.
Right. Now, is it just you on these shows? Is there an opening act?
Come out and we give you all we have.
Gotcha.
That's what we do. We just come out and we make the show at least a couple hours long, and I try to give you everything we can and make sure that it's worth your money coming out, and hopefully relive some memories and...
You have a website also. You want to give us the address of your website as well?
Sure. I originally had it with my whole name, which is, you know, Chris MacDonald, M-A-C, the whole thing. But what I did to simplify it, because people spell it wrong sometimes, I just made it chriselvis.com.
Uh-huh.
So chriselvis.com.
Gotcha. Because, you know, you're right. MacDonald is a name that people... They butcher that name. They don't know whether it's M small C D M A C.
And I'm MacDonald, so it's M A C capital D. So that's why.
Gotcha.
But it's very confusing. It gets a lot of people. So I figured I'd simplify and make it easy.
So what are your plans for the future?
Well, we want to take this show to more locations. We also want to take the show. Love to take the show overseas.
Ah.
Europe, possibly Japan. Even we've had some interest in over in South America, you know, maybe some Brazil or Chile.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, it's interesting. Paulette and I just got back from a couple of weeks in Europe. We went to Budapest, Vienna, Germany, and then we spent a week in Prague, which is beautiful. And then we spent 5 days in Barcelona. Now, Barcelona is interesting because they have a lot of nouveau doo-wop oldie acts there that are sprouting up and getting a lot of attention. And all of a sudden, the little wheels are turning in my head, and I'm saying to myself, if they love their doo-wop so much, they must love their Elvis as well.
Absolutely.
And I was talking to a friend of mine who you know, and right now she'll go nameless, and we're going to start putting our heads together and doing a couple of shows. And I'm waiting to hear from my friend in Barcelona as far as what it would take to bring a couple of acts over there. Now I'm saying to myself, wow, to put Chris McDonald in the middle of all of that might be a really, really good idea.
Great. Yeah.
Because we're trying to figure out what it would take in order to do that, because there are some guys that put on some big shows over there. I know Germany is very big on their oldies right now, and even in the UK.
I tell you, the Elvis is so strong. When I was just in Memphis, I did a show at the Peabody Hotel in Memphis.
Right.
Before this, the other concert we did, and the European Elvis fans are stronger fans. I have to almost say they're even stronger than the United States.
Because, you know, for a lot of them, they're experiencing it for the first time, or they're experiencing it en masse.
You're a great interviewer.
Well, you know, what's funny, Chris, is, you know, like, I've been doing it 5 years now, and it's like, you know, it's like each time I get, it's like every time you do the show and you keep tweaking it, and, you know, it gets more tighter and tighter and more sophisticated. You learn what works, what doesn't work. You know, it's like, at the beginning I was like, oh my God, how am I going to talk to some of these people? And then all of a sudden it's like you get into, I know where to roll. It doesn't shake me. They told me with Johnny Mathis, they said, you know what? You're going to have to pull it out of him. But once I got him rolling, he was like, whoa, you know.
And in the fact, you know, you've said some very nice stuff about the show, which I really, really appreciate, you know, coming from you. I really appreciate it very much.
Yeah.
And, so that's, you know, couldn't ask for more there.
You know, that reminds me of a couple of years ago at the beginning. I went to see Jersey Boys, and I was in New York, and I was with somebody, and we said, and I just went in there to get tickets, and I said, you know, we want tickets for two and whatever. And he said, for when? For what month? And I said, tonight. And the guy laughed at me. He says, what are you, crazy, man? We're sold out for 6 months. I says, oh, that's too bad. I said, I sing with the Mystics. And he says, you sing with the Mystics? I said, yeah. He says, prove it. So I pulled out a card. I gave it to him. He says, how'd you like two in the third row? I said, that's the way it works. He goes, yeah. So Bob Gaudio invited us backstage and everything. And what was really funny, it was with John Lloyd Young, who was the first Frankie. And he says, and we go backstage, and he says to me, do you think we were tight? Do you think we were authentic? I said to the guy, go home and lick your Tony. I told him. I said, go home and lick your Tony. What are you, crazy?
I love that show, yeah.
Yeah, you know. I mean, of course, it's been done so many times and everything else. But, hey, let me tell you, man. When it's good, it's good. And, you know, you've got the respect of an awful lot of people, Chris. And, you know, everybody knows how much time and effort you put into it. And it comes out that way, too. You know,
no,
I mean, it's the truth.
But I do things with my heart, and that's all it is. It's you know, you do that the way, you can never go wrong.
And you're a sweet, nice guy, and you have only good to say about everybody. And, you know, it's like I said to you the other day, in Florida, you never know what's coming with groups and people. It's like, you know, there's always...
I felt it, believe me.
Groups that split up, and groups that, and this one's not talking to this one, and that one's not, you know, even groups that are like close to us, you know. So it's like, enough already, just shut up and sing. I have this theory, it says shut up and sing.
I like But adopt that too.
Yeah, shut up and sing. Leave me alone. Come on, it's not why we're here. We're not here to do obituaries. We're not here to do monologues. We're here to sing. Let's just all sing and have a good time. You know,
shut up and sing. You could be digging a ditch. Right?
Yeah. So, what would you say to Chris McDonald fans that have followed you for a long time and still come out to see you and support you? What would you say to those people?
Thank you. Thank you very much. That's first of all. I want to make sure that I say that. And I just appreciate it so much that the connection has been made, because the key to life and what it's all about when it's all said and done is the connection you make with other people.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, music, believe it or not, at my most trying periods in life and my most down times where I needed to recover or I needed a little help from, you know, higher power or whatever, the music is always something that's always there for you. You can always rely on it. And, you know, it's a friend that's always there. Once you're part of that, you have the music in your blood, you know. It's always there for you.
It's a connection that just keeps going, and that's something you need.
No, I hear you. So, Chris, thank you so much. Thanks for taking time out from your busy schedule. You could be doing anything else right now, watching football, watching the convention, watching Desperate Housewives, whatever. Thank you so much for your time, and I consider you a great friend. You got a great act, and we'll always be there to support you. So thank you so much, Chris.
It's a pleasure. I mean, and like I said, you just make me feel very comfortable, great interviewer, and you're a good friend. And I appreciate the fact that you're having me on the show and the fact that you're allowing me to share what my show's about with your listeners.
Hey, let's get Chris McDonald out there. You deserve to be there.
Thank you very much.
All right, Chris, man.
All right, take care.
Have a great night.
Bye.
You too.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Down in Louisiana, really how they get as close to me. Just a lived-on girl that I swear to the world. Lady alligators look tank. Folks selling any hook. Maybe that's your granny. Yeah. Everybody said it was the same. Cause her mama wasn't working on a tank. A mean, vicious, straight razor tone woman. Lord have mercy. Every day before summertime, she'd go down and buy the trophy just to pick her mess of old Sally. Carrying home in its own sack, old Sally and Annie. Here got your granny. Everybody said it was the same, cause her mama was working on a train. Mr. John Zach on bass. Play a song. Feel your hips. Is that what you feel, Jim? Yeah. There's that train taking you down south. Huh? Up to the Lorca. He claimed they had a bad bank. Oliver Bud was reborn. Still watermelons out of my truck. Beer won't sell it any more. Beer got your grass. Yeah. Everybody said it was a shame. But the mama was working on a train gang. Time for supper, baby. I saw the little Pope sign. You know I need a mirror. I saw the little boat. You know I need a mirror. I saw the little Pope sign. You know I need a mirror. Ch-ch-changer. 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 Thank you very much.
Hi, this is Chris McDonald with Memories of Elvis in Concert. And you're listening to my good friend, Mike Miller, on the Harmony Street Show.
Very beautiful song right here. How many of you saw Elvis in concert in the 70s? Anybody? In Las Vegas, besides doing all of his hits, you know, his number one hits, he would always do songs that he really, really enjoyed from other artists because he loved music. Elvis loved music, all kinds of music. And a lot of the artists at the time were fine with him doing the songs. They didn't care. They were very happy with that. So this song is beautiful. It's called Let It Be Me. It goes something like this.
God bless the day I found you. I want to stay. So I beg you, let it be me. Don't take this hand from one. If you must cling to someone, now and forever.
Let's take it home now. Thank you very much. Beautiful song. Beautiful.
It is generally conceded, Colonel Parker, and to those who don't know it, let's tell them right now that Elvis's success was part Elvis, part Colonel Parker. Which part was yours? Because that was the less visible part.
I think mine was the least part.
But explain it to me. What was it? What did you do for him to help bring him to the public's attention?
I did all the promotion, the outdoor advertising, and he did the show on the stage. And the fans made it possible. You can promote all you want to, but if the people don't want to buy a ticket, it doesn't help. So I did my part, Elvis did his show, and we were lucky. Great talent, and we had a great show and a lot of fun.
Now, let me ask you something. In this day and age, in the 1980s, it would be unthinkable that a star of Elvis Presley's magnitude would not end up on the Johnny Carson show, on the Merv Griffin show, on half the talk shows around the country. You deliberately kept him back a little bit from that kind of exposure. Why did you do that?
Well, I like to correct you. I kept him back, but I didn't do it deliberately. I found out some of my friends, they had artists. They put them on all the shows, talk shows for free. And they had a hard time getting a job after that.
So you thought it was just a bad, that it was bad promotion, even though it got someone very well known, that it ultimately didn't work out for the best?
Well, I felt it was good for us not to go on, although all these fellas were good friends of mine. But when you go on these shows, most of the time they book people when they're big stars, so they don't hurt them too much. But we were starting out, and it wouldn't have helped us any. Which has proven because we did all right without him.
Yeah, you did terrific without him. It is, you've got critics, you know that. You have them. Even Elvis has critics. Your critics say that you held him back, that he could have been much more of an actor, for example, than he ultimately, you know, was given a chance to be.
Well,
because you put him in those kind of, beach bikini, jailhouse rock type movies.
Well, if whoever said that is fine. They can say what they want to. If I was them, if they know so much, they ought to go in the management business.
Well, you tell me about it. I mean, was he perfectly content? I mean, was it a matter of his knowing his own level, knowing his own limitations, or was it just
that? Well, I didn't know what he knew all of it, but he knew that he could do whatever he wanted to, and nobody told Elvis Presley what to do, because he was a very strong person, and we had a great relationship. But I took care of mine, he took care of his, and he didn't let anybody tell him what to do.
Could he have been a really great actor? Could he have become a fine dramatic actor, do you think? Did he have that kind of ability?
You know, Ted, you're right, but you know, one time at one studio, we had a great producer, the late Jerry Walt, you remember him?
Sure do.
And he came to us with a script. And he told Elvis that if we did this picture, he would be practically assured of an Academy Award. But they could not pay us the money that we wanted because the script was so expensive. So I told him that we usually stay home during the Academy Award, and he paid us our money, and if he bought us the Oscar, I'd give him his money back, and I never saw him again.
Okay, now what about the songs? I am told that he could sit there and listen to a stack of demos and 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 would go by and then he'd say, that's the one, I want that one, and that he had kind of an unerring instinct for what was good and right for him, musically.
Yeah. Ted, as long as I was with Elvis Presley, I never was involved with what songs he was going to record. Very seldom I was ever in the studio. He picked his own songs with the songwriters, whatever they were, and he never asked me, should I do this or that? It was up to him. He liked it that way. The only song that I was able to have him record, because I thought it was good for him, was Are You Lonesome Tonight? That's the only one.
Step back for a moment and do what I know so many people who are watching tonight would like you to do, and that is explain, if you can, the Elvis phenomenon, not just while he was alive, but here we are 10 years after his death, and if anything, he's a bigger star than he ever was.
I don't think I can explain it, Ted. I've been been 10 years since Elvis passed away. When he passed away, I was on tour. I had to stay behind, close out all the tours. But I've been for 10 years doing nothing except consulting work and working on keeping Elvis's name the limelight with the fans, because they're devoted. I've talked to over 1,000 in the last 4 days here. I did interviews, and it's unexplainable. They say anybody else could have done it. Perhaps so, but I was happened to be the one that was with him. He did his part. I did mine, and there is no answer for that.
When all is said and done now, was he happy with his career? Was he satisfied with his career, or was there any emptiness left?
Well, I don't know, but I know one thing. When I told us to slow down, he said, I want to play more dates, so I booked more dates. I said, well, I don't think you should. And he said, well, that's what I want to do. And I quit for a while, and he was very unhappy, so we started all over again.
Colonel Parker, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much.
Elvis has left the building.
Open up your heart. Recall how it used to be. Remember all the love we found on Harmony Street. There was a place that we used to go when we were feeling down and we were low. We looked into each other's eyes and found the road that led Street. We couldn't believe our eyes when we were there. Wasn't it a big surprise to find we really cared? We looked into each other's heart and found the road was free and clear. Harmony Street. Yes, there were times when we had it all figured out. Then there were times when we both had our doubts. But through it all, you know, our love was complete. We spent all our time on Harmony Street. We couldn't believe our eyes when we were there. Wasn't it a big surprise to find we really cared? We looked into each other's eyes and found the road that led Street. Yes, there were times when we had it all figured out. Then there were times when we both had our doubts. But through it all, you know, our love was complete. We spent all our time on Harmony Street. Somehow we found our love. Dream.
nothing I could do, nothing to say. We looked into each other's eyes and found a lonely thoroughfare on Harmony Street. Open up your heart, recall how it used to be. Remember all the love we found on Harmony Street. Open up your heart, recall how it used to be. Remember all the love we found on Harmony Street.